There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chicago everywhere, check it.
Not enough Chicago. We just don't have enough Chicago people. Jason Goff is here.
Well, I'm at Full Go.
The Full Go Podcast.
The Full Go.
Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, and Blackhawks.
Our man, Jason Goff.
3 times a week with Jason Goff.
His mood is elevated. He is feeling good.
Jason, I'm loving the Full Go.
Love the Full Go.
The Full Go.
The Full Go.
Welcome to Full Go with Jason Goff.
That is what I'm talking about. Talking about.
What up, world? You're listening to The Full Go with Jason Goff, presented by The Ringer, a Spotify original. Yeah.
Boys had me put on a tie tonight, all types of shit, boy. You couldn't tell me that this team wasn't going to be in Boston. I had my man Jim Murray, friend of the show, hit us up and was like, yo, need you tomorrow. Preview this Celtics-Bulls series. Psh, no problem, Jim. I got you, kid. We out here. Only to see the Bulls lay a proverbial egg in the final game of the 2023-2024 season. And, you know, we'll see what's to come. This is episode 381 of the Full Go Podcast. I don't say it's an emergency episode because we planned this one, right? We told y'all it was going to happen tonight. So it's not an emergency, but it's an altered schedule episode. How should we put it like that? Of course, we're going to give you what you need on Sunday as well because we are about to get knee deep in all of our NFL draft conversation. You know, like to save it for the week before so we're not sitting here talking about, you know, kids who are going in the fourth and fifth round and who you like best off the University of Minnesota roster and all this other shit. You know, everybody turns into a draft expert after they read a book or two. Not me. No. I'm going to go in with the same knowledge I had at the end of the football season. I'm going to go into the draft with it. But that is not why you called. This is, like I said, the Full Go Podcast brought to you by the fine folks at FanDuel, presented by The Ringer. And, of course, Spotify is the gang. Shout out to wherever you are catching this pod at. We appreciate every single one of you. Rolling tonight, the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill. And the exceptional one, the Kyle Williams. We are in the missing Chris Sutton formation, but he is with us in spirit. Yeah, the Bulls lose 112-91 to the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. And I will say this, there is no reason after what I said yesterday about how you enjoy some of it, you understand what the expectations are, be entertained if you are being entertained. There is no reason for a Bulls fan to feel good about the loss that occurred in Miami. None. Absolutely none, because this is what the team has been for the majority, not only of this season, but for the last three seasons for the most part. Sans the Lonzo Ball experience, you know, the beginning of, 2021, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the year. The first few months that got Lonzo Ball, what this team was supposed to be for the foreseeable future, got derailed with Lonzo's knee injury. And then 2 years happened after that, right? And I think tonight, as we are recording here, it's what, 10:45 here on a Friday night. Tonight is the culmination of the inactivity and the stagnation of the Bulls front office for the last couple of years. In a game where you shoot the ball 43 times from three-point land, where the emphasis in terms of shot profile coming into this season was putting up more threes and playing with a faster pace. Well, guess what? You put up as many threes as you wanted to put up. You didn't hit any. You didn't hit enough, I should say. And looking at this roster, I don't know why that is shocking. You can take as many as you want, but they're not enough dead-eye, drop-dead, fall-out-of-bed, I'm going to knock down a three-point shot, whether I'm guarded or whether I'm wide-open dudes on this team. And some of the three-point numbers that we saw this year, you know, Alex Caruso had his finest shooting season, but Alex Caruso coming off a bad ankle, getting stepped on, not being able to return from the Atlanta game, I wasn't expecting much out of him, didn't get much out of him, he looked hobbled. Coby White had himself a poor game, to say the least, after the 42-point outburst against the Atlanta Hawks. You chalk that up to Coby White being on this stage, really, in this capacity for the first time. Hopefully this doesn't happen again in his career, where a defense that I think he was prepared to see, he didn't see. And I think that changed the game a little bit for Coby. I think Coby thought they were going to play a little bit more zone, and when they didn't, Coby White got caught in between being guarded by length and also having a tough time finishing at the rim, which is kind of a, you know, a knock on his game that he kind of – He laid to rest this year, especially with the uptick in scoring. But I do want to say this. And, you know, Nikola Vucevic said it at the outset of this season that maybe this was the last time that this group was going to get a chance. So there was a sense of urgency there. Well, without Zach LaVine, without Patrick Williams, without all the players that they would count on rotationally, there were a lot of shortcomings this year for the Chicago Bulls team. If you want to stay in the game, The game to me was lost at 42-31, and it was very simple for me. The Bulls got that thing down to 11, but it was during a period where the Heat did not score for 4 minutes of regulation basketball. 4 minutes. And you went into that drought with a 14-point deficit. You came out of that drought with a 14-point deficit. So in the end, one team who has an identity organizationally, who has a DNA trait organizationally, against a team that for whatever reason played as inconsistently as you saw in these last couple of games. The Bulls could be on fire some nights and some nights not be able to hit the broadside of a barn. It's when you got to count on your defense. And we've talked about it on this pod, how the slippage defensively has been noticeable over the last year and a half. And I want to talk about something that I saw in the rotations tonight. You know, Andre Drummond did everything he could to suit up for the Miami game. I think I mentioned in the last pod, but if I didn't, there was a time when I was in the tunnel during the Atlanta game at the United Center, and Andre was getting ready to check in, and he's getting stretched out, and you know, you could tell that he was in a lot of discomfort, shall we say. But Andre is a tough dude. He got ready for his rotation and went in there. There was times when he was icing that thing down during the game. So Andre Drummond wasn't playing at full strength. And that being the case, Nikola Vucevic had to have the game that 3 years, $60 million will buy you. If there's and guys get paid a lot around the NBA. Right, you see contracts in the offseason. It seems like every single offseason, you see this guy get paid or you see that guy get paid. Well, Nikola Vucevic got paid 3 years, $60 million to continue to be a premier stretch five in the league. And when you say, Jay, he's not a premier stretch five. Those words are very, very important because there's not a lot of stretch fives. There's not. And not a lot of dudes you can keep on the court for more than 20 minutes in terms of actual gameplay. The premier stretch fives that you can do that with are few and far between. Nikola Vucevic needed to be that guy this season, and he wasn't. It's as simple as that, whether it be matchup recognition by the guards or the fact that he had his worst shooting season since he's been counted on as a foundational pillar of an organization in the NBA. Now, will his shooting snap back to form next year? We'll see. All I know is you've got some very interesting questions to answer at the center position. Andre Drummond is an unrestricted free agent, and if I'm Dre, I'm looking forward to seeing whoever's got a center who I either think I could beat out or a guy who I know is going to be hurt for 30, 40 games a year, because Andre Drummond still believes he is a starting center in this league. Now, to what capacity, when you have a league that is asking everyone to shoot the ball and shoot it with some kind of efficiency, to have that guy on the court for long periods of time, you're going to have to play at a remarkably high efficiency rate when you've got a guy who strictly shoots twos, and not only just shoots twos, only shoots in the paint. So there's things that defensively other teams will be able to do to you that they can't do to other teams. So if he is going to come back with the Bulls, I will find it interesting to see how the minutes are deployed and how much Billy Donovan is going to go about this continuity roster thing. They have no cap flexibility. They have the sixth worst cap situation in the entire NBA going into next season, and that's if the player option are enacted, and that's if some of these material principal players in the rotation who are unrestricted free agents like DeMar DeRozan, like Lonzo, no, Lonzo's got a player option, and you know he's going to press the button on that. But DeMar DeRozan, Andre Drummond, like I mentioned, Patrick Williams, who is a restricted free agent who we haven't talked about for the last couple of months because he hasn't been around, and frankly, for the last 3 or 4 years, hasn't given us enough to talk about. So now Billy Donovan's got to take this thing upon himself, and not saying that he didn't before, but if this is the roster that is going to return, including Zach LaVine, who nobody's going to kick the tires on until they see him play at a long enough for a long enough stretch of time at an efficient enough pace of play and productivity level, nobody's going to say, hey, I'll give you this for Zach LaVine right now. That's not happening. That's not happening. So it is now incumbent upon Billy Donovan to be the best coach he could possibly be with this group. The draft pick situation, I mean, we've talked about that on this pod too. You got a San Antonio draft pick that's going to them pretty soon here that's top 10 protected, but the Bulls are not getting ready to tank. So you can all but kiss that one goodbye, which I think will force them into the sunk cost fallacy sometimes of, hey, we got to re-sign DeMar DeRozan because – you don't want him to be able to walk and San Antonio mess around and get your top 10 protected pick. The Bulls find themselves in a quandary here. And as much as I've talked about Ryan Poles in the last couple of years, Ryan Poles, and I know football and basketball are two different sports, and you got to manage different egos, different contract situations, guaranteed versus not guaranteed. All I know is I expected Ryan Poles to be able to move like a gangster and get this situation unearthed and then turned over. Well, guess what? He's done that. And he's getting ready to get his crown jewel in the draft coming up next Saturday. I'm sorry, on the 25th. This Saturday. On the 25th. He's going to get Caleb Williams, and he's going to get whatever he needs to get out of that ninth pick, whether it be selecting a player or trading down. Arturis Karnišovas, I would love to say it's time for him to be a gangster, but I just don't know how much gangster is in him because I haven't seen anything over the last couple of years in terms of movement on this team. And the movement that I have seen in Javon Carter and Torrey Craig were disappointments, to say the least, this year. Javon Carter was brought in, and a lot of conversation was surrounding Javon Carter about maybe this is the starting point guard for your team, and that kind of made me go eek a little bit as well. But Kobe White came back this summer with an improved, greater, tighter handle, and you know he's going to finish probably second in most improved player voting, if not win the award outright. Tyrese Maxey had an outstanding season as well, so it's those two guys going head up. And shout out to Peter Patton. You know, when we talk about coaching and development, Peter Patton this year took Kobe White's game, took Ayo Dosunmu's game, took a few games on the Chicago Bulls team that had to change shooting-wise, and he took them to the next level.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We'll be back with more of The Full Goal with Jason Goff after a word from our sponsors.
Now, it's not only time for personal work, but also architectural work to accentuate the positives of a lot of these players on this team and to also minimize some of the weaknesses. Because this team still defensively, let's face it, you watch Miami and a first-year player in Jaime Jaquez run through people. This team, at the point of attack, just isn't big enough and isn't strong enough, right? I love Kobe White. Kobe White's got to put on some different kind of weight now in terms of strength. You know, his defense, the defense that we talked about at the beginning of the year, wasn't able to play it at the end of the year. Whether it be the minutes load, whether it be the injuries, whatever the case may be, everybody's hurt at this point in the year. Everybody. So I don't want to hear that excuse either. You know, the Joel Embiid-less Sixers stayed in the hunt long enough for their guy to come back, and they might beat the New York Knicks in a first-round playoff series because they did what they had to do, kept that thing afloat with Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris and Nicholas Batum and the likes, right? They kept that thing. Nick Nurse did what he had to do, and they got their big gun back. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Billy Donovan is not only forced to do, but is willing to do with the roster that he's going to be given, because I don't think it's going to be terribly different from the roster we saw lose to the Miami Heat. The bigger picture is the expectations for this team have been where they've been because we're not stupid. And there are a lot of Jordan fans in this city, but I'd like to think that there are just as many Bulls fans. Right? And 98 was a long, 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 long time ago now. The basketball that you're watching now that is being played in the NBA has to be played at a certain level by certain people. And Bill Simmons, Dollar Bill, tweeted out just an absolute gut punch about what the last 7-8 years have been in terms of only being the luxury tax once as an ownership group. And by the way, not the greatest day for Jerry Reinsdorf owned teams. The White Sox got one hit by the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Bulls just got outclassed by the Miami Heat in a play-in situation without Jimmy Butler. And I can't stress enough the without Jimmy Butler part. It's something when a team and an organization, and you know, I make fun of Heat culture because I think it's like one of those things that everybody just has to say. You can't even say Miami Heat anymore. You got to say Miami Heat culture. You got to say all three words. And shout out to my guy Jason Jackson down there in Miami doing his thing. That's one of my OGs. And anytime we get a chance to talk about that Miami Heat team, he says the same things over and over again. They always seem to come out in the wash. There's a certain way that they are expected to operate as professionals. Body mass index is the first thing that these dudes get mailed to them once they sign on the dotted line or once they're traded to the Miami Heat. Before you pick up a basketball, have your ass in shape when you get here. This is what we want you at. I know you played at 220, 225 with the other team. You're going to be playing at 216, 215 here. If you want to enjoy Miami and all the fruits and rewards and the spoils on South Beach, well, guess what? You're going to be too goddamn tired to, because we're going to play a different way. We're going to play a different kind of pace. We're going to play a different kind of defensive intensity. And there's certain principles that are plug and play. They have been the New England Patriots without all the winning, but they have been the New England Patriots of this league for a very long time, where guys who ain't built or cut out for that shit, they don't go there. They don't go there. So when your favorite free agent has Miami on the brain and all of a sudden you see Miami not be on there across that chest, it's probably because they got scared off of it by either their agent or a direct meeting with that team. And Jimmy Butler is one of the only motherfuckers that's crazy enough to speak the same language that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra speak. And that's why that situation has been perfect for them. Been perfect. Jimmy Butler has gone to two NBA finals since he left Philadelphia to join the Miami Heat. One in the bubble and one last year. And it's not by chance. It's not by chance. They scout out and search and hunt players who fit what they are trying to do, so that when injuries happen, we're not sitting around 2 years talking about what could have been. Or, man, remember those 2.5-3 months? Okay? When guys go down for 3 weeks, when guys go down with sprained MCLs, Tyler Hero looks into a camera and says, "We got enough." And they mean it when they say it. They got a championship pedigree. They got champions on that roster as well. Kevin Love is a champion. Okay. You know, Jaime Jaquez is a dude who fits in as well as he does because he's a grown-ass man playing basketball for the Miami Heat. He's built like a grown man. He moves like a grown man. The only thing is, this is his first year in the NBA, and everybody doesn't have a book on him yet. That was his strength this year, and he played like it today. How many plays got called for Jaime Jaquez? maybe one, maybe two in the entire game. The man ended up with a Sean Marion type of game where you look up and you're like, oh shit, he had 18 points, 7 rebounds, you know what I mean, 6 assists, couple blocks, that kind of thing. We're like, wait a minute, I didn't see him call for the ball not once. Not once. Duncan Robinson got hurt. Back started acting up on him. It's all good. We fill in Caleb Martin. He plays the same style, can knock down a couple of shots for you. By the way, they didn't have Terry Rozier as well. We want to talk about what didn't show up for the Miami Heat tonight. Bam Adebayo had a superstar game. The man just became an Olympian and did not rest on his laurels, didn't read his paper, you know, his press clippings, because guess what? The ghost of Udonis Haslem is still running around that locker room. And the tone has been set for the other dudes now who are coming along, and Bam Adebayo has picked up that torch. There's a reason why the Miami Heat aren't scared to play on the road in the playoffs. There's a reason why when the regular season is getting a little tense, they don't press the button and make guys play who they know are going to eke out a couple of regular season wins. They know in the playoffs they got your number. They know in the postseason they can turn into a different beast. And that's what I'm looking forward to this Bulls team of becoming one day. Yeah, everybody's had enough fun with the post-game interviews and pouring water on each other's heads and all the other goofy shit that goes on when you're just happy to get a win. 39 win seasons aren't going to be good enough for anybody going forward, no matter how entertaining they are. No matter what the clutch minutes and the clutch victories and the clutch stats tell you about what you are. And if I'm supposed to react like this team is a 10th place team, then just let me know. Just let me know. The expectations, the tenor, and the measured responses will change about this team. Now it's time to find out who's what. This isn't continuity. This isn't competitive. This is substandard. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And anybody who's been around this organization or who's still in this organization from the heyday know that as well. This is a worldwide, this is a global brand. This is a team that is still raking in the dough. This is a team with one of the largest capacities in terms of arenas still in the NBA. It's time to make some moves that belie that you truly are tired of being mediocre.
I tell you, I can't help but get back to golf.
Now, you may ask, which moves are those? Well, guess what? Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley get paid a whole hell of a lot more money than I do to figure those things out. Whether it be 2 years ago when I thought, hey, man, Luke Kennard just got for a second round pick by the Memphis Grizzlies. Might be a shooter that you need. Or whether it's going to be Klay Thompson who's going to have to get used to wearing a new jersey here soon. Whatever the case may be, I am looking forward to seeing what this team has to offer and how it will change. Because change is a must. Because no longer, and there's going to be an exit interview with Arturis Karnišovas and the media availability that will happen on Saturday, the 20th. I will be out there. I'm looking forward to listening and asking a few questions of my own. Because the last 3 years, and you can put the Lonzo Ball situation in there because obviously it's a variable, but the last 3 years and the last two especially, with no movement really on this roster and trying to feel out which guys can play with who and guys actually admitting to this may be our last go-round, I'm looking forward to hearing what Arturis Karnišovas has to say about the competitive level of this team, the continuity and how that played out, and what's next. You can't miss on draft picks. You can't miss on transactions or trades anymore. You can't. Marko Simonovic is no longer in the NBA. Patrick Williams, I mean, it kind of worked out in the Bulls' favor, his injury, because they're going to be able to get him at the number that they wanted to probably all along. And now Zach LaVine goes into an offseason where he can be as healthy as he needs to be. But on the heels of what I saw this season, it's not good enough. And anybody who's going to look into a camera and tell you whatever the excuses slash variables slash mitigating circumstances are, just understand that in the end, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You know, I'm a person in my day-to-day life who I'm faced with a whole bunch of challenges. And if you're around people or you are a person who likes to freak out when a challenge presents itself, just know that after the freak out, you still got to answer the bell. Still got to have enough discernment to say, you know what? This didn't work. It didn't feel good that it didn't work. I can give myself whatever time that I need. And if you got to answer it quickly, all you're doing is wasting time. But if you got a little time to zoom out and peruse your situation, survey the landscape, not only of the NBA, but more importantly, of that roster in that locker room with that coach. At 19-11, this team started to panic and just gave the ball to DeMar DeRozan. All the shit that we talk about when it comes to pace and space and you know, the high quality shots, that went by the wayside for a few minutes. And all it did was dig a deeper hole. I had a coach back when I was in a freshman at Evanston Township High School. And he mentioned about fatigue, not only making cowards of us all, but actually showing us who does the exercise the right way. We already know. Anybody could plank the first two 25, 35, 45 seconds, 3-4 minutes into that thing. What's your foundation looking like? What's your structure looking like? Okay, what's your form looking like? Anybody could bust those first 50 sit-ups, but what's going to happen when you got to do those next 50? What kind of stress are you putting on joints and your neck and all the other things? Hell, these days, they probably tell you you shouldn't even be doing sit-ups. Sit-ups probably like one of them outlawed exercises these days, right? Sit-ups like the old horse
cock. Like the Oklahoma drill.
Yeah. You already know the vibes. Like, yeah, we don't do sit-ups no more, Jay. Come on, man. You're putting too much stress on your neck. Come on, man. Come on. But honestly, like, you find out on the third rep of your exercise where your form truly lies when you ain't fresh. when the lactic acid is building up in your tissues and your muscle fibers, that's when you find out what you are. And every time this team got to a point of a tenuous point, a point of battle testedness, a point of sometimes concern, it reverted back to what it was and what it is inherently, which is a team that stands around, gives DeMar the ball, says, go to work, big fella. Well, that's not going to work. DeMar DeRozan is going into his 16th year in the NBA. He played the most total minutes of any player in the league this year. At some point here, that's going to have to run out. You can only ask that man to do so much. So Zach LaVine, we're going to find out what's he really about. Kobe White, looking forward to the ascension now. Looking forward to him becoming a better pick and roll playmaker, a better defender. Looking forward to him adding a little bit more of a mid-range game, a little bit of a float or something to keep people off balance so that it's not just threes and drives with him. Try to round out that offense a little bit more. Looking forward to a lot of these guys coming back with a different basketball game. Hey, if Billy Donovan is going to count on Dalen Terry to be the first player off the bench, let me know. Let me know. Because all I should hear about this offseason is Dalen Terry shooting jump shots, if that's the case. Torrey Craig, hey man, ever since Torrey threw that ball off the backboard, boy, we didn't, that has been a persona non grata seemingly, boy. That ever since
my man's gonna pick up his player option quietly and quickly.
Oh, yeah, just send that fax tonight. Like, yeah, I'm coming back, y'all. I'm coming back, you know. And let's face it, Javon Carter, the signing this year, disappointing to say the least, on the high side, disappointing. Didn't shoot the ball the way we thought he would, and hell, didn't play as much as we thought he would. So the Bulls have a lot of questions to answer. Looking forward to those questions being answered on Saturday, because there will be a media throng at the Advocate Center who wants answers. This is what happens. I'm just being real with y'all. This is what happens when you kind of have that air of, shut the fuck up, we know what we're doing. Because when these are the results, now the questions have to come. Do you? Do you know what you're doing? So a fun season in certain respects, in certain regards. I am thoroughly, thoroughly excited to see what Kobe White could become. Ayo Dosunmu, hey man, had a terrific game against the Hawks, but saw playoff pitching tonight in the Miami Heat. right? We've talked about it on this show before. During the regular season, you're seeing threes, fours, and fives. It's a race to the bat rack. You can't wait to get your four ABs. And then when that postseason come around, you're seeing Cy Young Award winners and number twos who get $150 million in a seven-year deal, right? Them threes, fours, and fives are the long relievers in the back end of the bullpen. They get the call if a game is out of hand in the playoffs. That's what the defense is in the postseason in the NBA. I would assume we saw a little bit of that against the Miami Heat. It's a lot different playing against the Atlanta Hawks and five strangers wearing the same fucking uniform as opposed to a Heat team who it is embedded upon them. Hey, we can miss shots, but we're not going to miss rotations. We're not going to miss matchup recognition, and we're not going to let each other down at any point in this game. It's the reason why that team and that organization has been so successful. It's the reason why Eric Spoelstra is one of the, you know, 10, maybe top 10, top 15 coaches in NBA history. There's a reason. It's not by chance. You don't luck into it. It's not some big free agent offseason haul. It's not a trade where we got away with one. We fleeced them. No. They do things systematically. And the moment LeBron left, Pat Riley had it out for everyone in the NBA to show that this organization is bigger than LeBron. And since LeBron has left, they've been to a couple of finals. So if that's the measuring stick, if that's the barometer, you've seen it back-to-back years. You had a lead on them with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left, and then they turned into the Miami Heat on you last year. This year, the game was 11-11. And then after that, the Miami Heat put the vice grips on you.
Boat race.
Yeah.
Boat race.
And Casey. And you need it.
Casey had one of the hardest tweets at the end of that game. He said, a second straight season ending loss in Miami isn't the type of continuity the Bulls saw.
Hey, you can't argue with the truth, man. You can't argue with the truth. You know, the best organizations that I've ever been around, they usually congratulated the people who told the truth about their team. They usually hit people on the side and like, yo, thank you for asking that question to that player or to that coach or to that GM. Because everybody in that building should be wondering what's next too. Hell, I know I'm wondering what's next. I can't wait to find out.
It's Chicago in the house. Let me hear you say yeah. Yo, you listening to the Fool Goal podcast with my man Jason Goff. It's your boy Dave Jeff. Holla at y'all.
We're not going to give you an entire episode because like we said, this is an emergency episode or like a, you know, an alternate ending / planned episode. But I will say this as well, and I'll have more to say about this as more information becomes available. The last 5 years, I have been able to do something that I could have only dreamed of. And as a kid, I didn't run around with a whole bunch of people. I didn't. But every single night during the basketball season that the Bulls were on Sports Channel and then Comcast and now NBC Sports Chicago, every season I spent two, sometimes three nights a week with my best friends. And that was the Bulls broadcast. Whether it be Norm Van Leer and Mark Schanowski back in the day, right? Tom Doerr, Johnny Red Kerr. Hell, Jim Durham before he left for Dallas and also got that national job. Like, Bulls basketball has meant something to me that the other franchises haven't and frankly couldn't. Baseball, daytime, you know, sometimes I'm at school as a kid, couldn't catch all the Sox games that I wanted to catch. I got school to go to. Football, hey, it's got its own day. It's a religious holiday on a weekly basis for 17, 18 weeks during the wintertime, spending that day with your family. Football was more of a shared experience. We watched it as a community. But the Chicago Bulls, and more importantly, Chicago Bulls broadcasts were like my personal friend. And the last 5 years have been absolutely outstanding. Now, I know everybody out there has read the reports by Jeff Agrist and the likes, who are doing some phenomenal reporting on this story, by the way. And the Chicago Sun-Times and other outlets have jumped in here. I don't know what the future will hold as far as the Chicago Bulls broadcast and if I will be a part of the pre- and post-game show. All I can say for now, because I will have a lot more to say in the future here, maybe in the near future, maybe in the distant future, but in the future, I'll have a lot more to say. All I can say is these last five seasons have been an absolute joy for me. A kid who has no idea how to read music, and that being TV, got a chance to play some pretty dope ass songs for the last 5 years with two guys that I got a chance to learn not only basketball from, but life from. Two guys who have talked to me about marriage, about finances, about parenthood, about life. Like Will Perdue and Kendall Gill have been my OGs, you know, my basketball uncles for the last 5 years, and I wouldn't trade them for the world. The NBC Sports Chicago crew is one of the best ones that I've ever worked around, if not the best that I've ever worked around. I've worked in some pretty contentious situations. Every day that I came to work and have come to work, it's felt free and easy. It's felt uplifting. It's felt supportive, and it's done a lot for a kid who has, I don't care what y'all see in terms of these clothes and the smile on TV and all the other shit. Like, I don't move around with as much confidence as y'all may think. So the fact that I had a crew behind me to not only lift me up and support me, but to make sure that I came off the way that I intended to, the way that I wanted to relay myself, and the way that I wanted to relay our program, which is fun yet informative, spontaneous yet serious at times, but always trying to entertain and inform the listener, the viewer, I should say, was our goal. And I think we accomplished that goal. Had a few producers who I enjoyed working with, the entire stage crew, which did an outstanding job. I mean, the yeoman's work, these guys and girls sometimes doing three games in one day in this area of the sports calendar where the Hawks and the Bulls and the Sox are playing on the same day. They do a job that I don't think gets appreciated enough, not only by the local RSN, but probably by the parent company as well. So I want to thank them so much for everything that they have done for me. I hope I was only able to return it with my presence and just my appreciation in working at that station. Now, we won't know for a little while now what the future may hold, and I've got some thoughts on that I can't wait to share with y'all, because, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'll just leave it at that. It will be interesting. But I want to thank everybody who listens to the pod, because I ran into so many people over these last few seasons, especially at the United Center, who say immediately, love the pod, man. That's the first thing they say, love the pod. I'm like, oh, shit, you listen to this? Oh, appreciate you, right? And whether it be man, woman, child, like, you know, across the racial spectrum, religious backgrounds, be damned, like, it didn't matter. I've run into so many people who have gotten down with this pod, but also, connect me to the Bulls pre and post game show. I did radio for 16 years before I set foot inside a television studio. So it was always daunting to me. Shit, I think I had my first panic attack in the second game of my television career. I think it was a Bulls Cavaliers game. I had a little attack in the cafeteria, like, oh, shit, am I doing this? Am I really going to do this? So we'll get into, the path and the genesis of me taking that job and to what it's become now. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the ladies and gentlemen who have, frankly, propped me up for the last 5 years and allowed me to blast through the television sets in everybody's homes that hung out with us. And while we didn't win an Emmy, and that's for some very interesting circumstances that I can't wait to detail for y'all on the other side of whatever this is going to be. I know for a fact that we had the best goddamn pre and post game show in this city by far. And I was hopefully I was a small part of that, but with Kendall Gill and Will Perdue and Naomi Gray and Jason Schwartz and my man Joaquin before he bounced and Dan Vega, like there's so many people, you know, Ezra and Matt Ellis and Lou and, oh man, so many people. And I know some of them are going to be mad at me that I didn't mention them, you know, whether it be Bulldog or Eric Strobel or any of the people that I've worked with over the last 5 years. I thank them so much. We actually had a chance to talk to each other at the end of the show tonight. And, I'm a little bit, I don't know if you guys could tell 380 episodes in, but I get a little emotional every once in a while. So I cut it short because I did not want it to be one of those sob fests. But even my guy, Kendall Gill, you know, this man has been around this for a very long time and picking up where the great Norm Van Leer left off. He's filled his shoes admirably. Will Perdue is one of the best analysts in all of basketball, whether it be collegiate or NBA. So I have been blessed and honored to work with some amazing, amazing people, and I am looking forward to seeing what happens next. In the times of my life, in the last couple iterations of new career paths being birthed, I've had worry and I've had consternation. I've had issues with like, oh, what's gonna happen? Is something gonna? Nah, that's not where I'm at right now. That's not where I'm at right now. That's not where I choose to be. And I'm actually proud of the work. You know, for the first time, I got a chance to it end, you know, not because of me, you know, like this ain't got shit to do with me for the first time. So I'm happy about that. But I, in closing, I want to thank everybody who allowed a silly kid from Evanston to kind of live out a lifelong dream, which is to, you know, be a part of something that was so important and so special to me as a child, which was Bulls television broadcasts. I watched 6 championships as a kid. I didn't get a chance to broadcast that kind of glory these last 5 seasons. You know, shout out to Jim Boylan and the likes. But it has been an exhilarating experience. I have received more love from Bulls fans and the people around the NBA than I know what to do with. And the people I consider the GOATs of this thing, you know, the Ernie Johnsons of the world and some other folks who have reached out and commented on our work and commented on the way I do things. I am left fulfilled and I am left proud no matter what happens here. Hell, we could sign an extension and the Bulls could be back next year and I'd be like, hey, delete episode 381, forget all that shit I said, you know. But if not, again, thank you all for hanging out with us. Sorry this team could not bring more postseason excitement. Hopefully that is on the horizon, no matter if we're doing the games or not, because I'm always going to be a Bulls fan. And this team does mean something to me. And when they are entertaining, I love it. When they lose, I hate it. And I'm looking forward to the next time that we can have celebrations in Grant Park. I'm looking forward to the next time we could be planning parades and it be because of the red and black. You know, I think the Bears going to have themselves in a nice situation for a little while here. You look at the Blackhawks, they played a line of, what, 3 guys who were 20 years or younger the other day, and Connor Bedard already is the truth, right? You look at what's going on with the Cubs. I mean, you don't sign Craig Counsell if you don't think it's time to contend. So, and the Chicago Sky, they just drafted the Twin Towers. So there's going to be some sustained success around this city, and we're going to be covering it here on the Full Go podcast. But I truly, truly look forward to the days that we are talking about this team late in June. We are talking about this team when it's hot outside and it's time to celebrate with a parade. That is what I am looking forward to. Before I leave this earth, I would love for my child to experience some of the joy and some of the heights that I experienced as a kid. That is my hope. That is my want. And that is my wish. That's all the time we have for episode 381 here on the Full Go Podcast. A little Bulls post mortem, you know, little autopsy on what happened this season and also what happened against the Miami Heat. We thank you guys for hanging out with us so much. We thank you guys for downloading this thing. We appreciate you so much for following us on the socials. Appreciate y'all for sharing this with your family and friends like I know you have been. Right, whether I see you at the UC as a fan or otherwise, I'm so thankful for everything that you guys and girls have done and said to me over these last few years. You have made my heart pretty full. I truly appreciate it. And whenever I think that, you know, man, is anybody getting it or is anybody listening? Y'all always remind me in the moments that I need it the most. So truly, truly appreciate y'all. Thank you once again for rating and reviewing this show. Give it the 5 stars that you know it needs. If not, we will see you in the streets. Want to thank our production staff, the shadowy figure that is known as Steve Cerruti, the chief vibes officer himself, Chris Sutton, the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill, the exceptional one, the Kyle Williams. And for the fellas, I am Jason Goff. We will talk to you on Sunday. We will hear from our tourist Connor Chauvis and Mark Eversley on Saturday with the exit meetings. We'll get into the draft. And oh, now we can focus our sights on one of the worst offenses maybe in all of this century of baseball. And last century, in fact. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Go ahead and start booking some comedians and rappers, because I ain't about to talk about Garrett Crochet getting his ears pinned back for the entire summer. That's not happening. That's not happening. So for the fellas, I'm Jason Goff. Leaving you with this, as always, we let you know. Hey, by the way, a big shout out to Laura Coates from CNN. I was sitting there watching the news today, and I was watching it live, just chilling. Next thing you know, I'm getting a play-by-play of a person setting themselves on fire outside of Donald Trump's hearing. So shout out to Laura Coates for flexing her play-by-play muscles. And you might say, Jay, it's crass. It's too soon. Or, you know, it's not in good taste or good form. Hey, it wasn't me that set myself on fire, so I can say whatever the fuck I want to say. I don't love shit that much. And when I tell you I don't love shit that much, I mean it. This man doused himself in something and lit a match in front of poor Laura Coates. She's sitting there with her nice Columbia jacket on, you know, in 45-degree weather in New York City. Next thing you know, she doing a play-by-play talking about he's on fire like this shit is NBA Jam. I was like, wait a minute. Well, hold on. Look at the position y'all put Laura in. Motherfuckers. How dare y'all do that to Laura Coates? She's sensational. All right, I don't know where I was going with that. But all right, I'll let y'all go now. As always, man, take care of each other and be safe. Remember to stay sucker free. We'll catch y'all on Sunday. Peace. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus DC, and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, DC, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.